that in the midst of what you're going through, that you should have hope. Oh, I like that right there. Next time, if you're not going through something right now, the next time you go through something, just write this phrase down. Just say that I might be a prisoner. I might owe somebody money that I can't pay them. I might have my house needing repairs that I can't pay for. I might be in a marriage with a knucklehead person. I might be dealing with a situation, and I might feel captive to this situation. I might feel like a prisoner, but let me tell you something. I'm not a prisoner without hope. I'm a prisoner of hope. And so we need to realize, man, remember that. Write that down, that if you are a child of God, that you are not just a prisoner. You are a prisoner.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Hope, Lessons from the Tree. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Hope, Lessons from the Tree.
In the 14th chapter of the book of Job, Job is talking about the shortness of man's life, and he goes on to say that man dies and gives up the ghost, and where is he? But before he begins to condemn the brevity of life, he tucks away a wonderful example of hope. And so as we come today, we want to look at the example that Job has tucked away in the 14th chapter on hope. As we look at hope, we ask the question, what is hope? What is hope? Hope is the confident expectation for some good to happen in the future. The Hebrew word for hope in Job 14:7 is tikvah, and it means to wait or look for with eager expectation. The idea here is many of you catch the bus to go to work, or maybe you catch the bus for other various reasons. And when you're out there waiting for the bus, that you are waiting with eager expectation, that you realize that this is your ride to your job, that this is what's going to transfer you to make the money that you need to make to pay your bills and to do the things that you need to do. So you have an eager expectation that the bus is coming to pick you up. Well, you know what that is? That's hope. That's hope. Hope is a confident expectation that something that hasn't happened yet, that you are expecting it to happen. You are expecting it to come your way. And that is hope. A man approached a boy who was playing in a Little League baseball game. He asked the boy, what was the score? And the boy said, 18 to nothing, and we're behind. And the man said to the boy, he said, son, you must be discouraged about the fact that you are behind 18 nothing. And the little boy said, why should I be discouraged? Because we haven't even got up the bat yet. That's hope. That's hope. One man who was trying to swoon and croon his girlfriend, and she was kind of distant and afar off, and he said to her, what is my mind to do? My mind is in a whirlpool. Give me a little hope, one small thing to cling to. So what was he asking? He was asking for her just to give me some hope, just give me a sign, anything that I can hold on to, because you got me going in circles. What is hope? What is hope? Hope is a confident expectation for something good to happen in the future. Sadly, we have to look at this and ask this question, because there are many people today who find themselves in this category. What does it mean to be without hope? What does it mean to be without hope? Well, whenever a person is without hope, They see whatever situation they are involved in, whether it's their marriage, their career, or even their life, they see it as having come to a dead end, and they have lost all hope. Notice that I said, even people's lives, according to the World Health Organization, one person commits suicide every 40 seconds. Every 40 seconds, one person will commit suicide. Suicide rates are increasing as the years go by. And what is most disturbing is that there are more young people killing themselves than at any other time. In the United States, out of every 100,000 people, 12 will commit suicide. Out of every 100,000, 12 will commit suicide. As we venture around the world, in Lithuania, there are 42 suicides per 100,000. In Russia, there are 38 suicides per 100,000. In Belarus, there's 35 per 100,000. In the Ukraine, there are 26 per 100,000. And the World Health Organization went on to ask a question and then answer it. They asked the question, why do so many people in these countries kill themselves? And this is the answer. Well, generally speaking, people commit suicide because they feel there is no other solution, no hope left. The reason could be either financial or personal, relationship, low self-esteem, but the bottom line is that they lack purpose in life and they are feeling hopeless. Hope. This thing is serious. Unless we think that, well, you know, why is Pastor Glaze speaking about hope? Because situations dictate some people to have hopelessness. And you need to learn how to respond when you find yourself in a hopeless situation. And there are many people sitting here today. They are in hopeless situations, and they see no light at the end of the tunnel. They see themselves as have coming to a dead end. And as a matter of fact, I've put up some no hope statements here. And you may find yourself in this category this morning. I give up. That's a no hope statement. This situation is hopeless. There's no use in trying anymore. I've lost all hope. This is over. This is impossible. There is no future. These are all no hope statements. Now, why does that become important? It becomes important because in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, the writer says, the power of life and death are in the tongue. And I'm not one of these people that believe that you speak things into existence. I can't speak a plant or a speaker into existence. But I do believe that we speak realities concerning our life into existence. And if we say something long enough, or if we let something come off of our lips, then that's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, that when we say that. And so when we say that, we are actually condemning ourselves because we are saying, in essence, that I have no hope. And as a Christian, I've used this term here before, but that's an oxymoron. A Christian without hope? And we're going to see as we go through what the Word of God has to say about that today. A number of years ago, they performed an experiment. And in this experiment, what they did was they took two tubs and they put rats in each tub. The first tub, they left the rats in there, and after 1 hour, all the rats were dead. The other tub, the first hour, they took the rats out every 5 minutes and put them back in. They took them out again and put them back in. For the first hour, they took them out about 6 or 7 times and put them back in. And the rats in the second tub continued to swim for 24 hours. What was the difference? Well, the rats in the first tub had no hope, and they gave up. The rats in the second tub, because somebody was lifting them out and putting them back in, they realized that after that first hour that somebody was going to come and lift them out. And so they figured if they had hope and they kept swimming, that they were going to make it. Well, let me tell you something. We have somebody that comes and lifts us up out of the water. We have someone that comes and lifts us up out of our situation. And so let us not be like the rats in the first tub and give up and drown, but let us be like the rats in the second tub to keep on swimming, because we know that we have a God who's going to pick us up and deliver us. There's no reason for Christians to have no hope and make no hope statements. How can hope help me? What is hope? Hope is confident expectation of something good that's going to happen in the future. That I got to believe that somehow, some way, that this situation is going to get better. So as we look at hope, how can hope help me? Now, I don't know what you're going through today, but I just want you to stop for a minute. Everybody to stop and think about what you're going through today. And ask yourself, what you're going through today, have you lost hope? Have you lost hope? And if so, I want to share something with you that just was powerful. And it's found in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, that's one of them Old Testament books you might have to blow the dust off of, or lick your finger so that you can get to Zechariah. But if not, we can put it up on the screen for you. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12. And here, Zechariah is prophesying to a group of people who are in captivity. He's prophesying to the Israelites. They have been taken into Babylonian captivity. But God told them that there would be a return, and that they would return from exile. So in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12, look what the prophet says. Turn to the stronghold, ye, look at this, ye prisoners of what? Of hope. That's deep. That's deep. Turn to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. What is he saying? He's saying that even though you're in captivity, that I have given you a promise of deliverance, and that you might be a prisoner right now, but you are not a prisoner without hope. You are not a prisoner on death row. And what matter, no matter what situation or what circumstance you're going through today, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's on your job, whether it's in relationship, in community, whatever the case might be, you might feel captive to your situation. You might feel chained to your situation. You might feel bound by your situation. But the Bible says that you are a prisoner. Yes, you are a prisoner, but you are a prisoner of hope. That in the midst of what you're going through, that you should have hope. Oh, I like that right there. Next time, if you're not going through something right now, the next time you go through something, just write this phrase down. Just say that I might be a prisoner. I might owe somebody money that I can't pay them. I might have my house needing repairs that I can't pay for. I might be in a marriage with a knucklehead person. I might be dealing with a situation, and I might feel captive to this situation. I might feel like a prisoner, but let me tell you something. I'm not a prisoner without hope. I'm a prisoner of hope. And so we need to realize, man, remember that. Write that down, that if you are a child of God, that you are not just a prisoner. You are a prisoner of hope. How can hope help me? How can hope help me? Now, I don't have time to read all these scriptures, and I would encourage you to read them as you go through. That's why for those of you who want them, that's why we have the notes available. If you are stressed about the future, hope will give you a peace in the present. Proverbs 13:12. If you are at a dead end, hope will let you see another road. If you've come to the end of your resources and you are hopeless, all you got to do is integrate hope into your faith and life, and God will show you another road. If the situation is impossible, hope will show you the possibilities. There was a man who was sentenced to die, and he went to the king. And he said to the king, he said, if I can make your horse fly, teach your horse how to fly in the next year, will you let me go free? And the king said, sure, if you teach my horse to fly in the next year, I'll let you go free, and you won't have to die. And so the king let him go. And somebody asked the man, well, why would you make a deal like that? He said, well, within a year, the king might die. I might die. The horse might die. Or maybe the horse will learn to fly. You got to have hope. You know, when the situation... when the situation seems impossible, maybe the horse will fly. You can do the impossible. Hope will show you the possibilities. This is our scripture for our radio ministry, Anchored in Jesus, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. If you are tossed in the sea of life, if you're just being tossed and driven about in the sea of life, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9 says, there is an anchor for the soul, a hope that's steadfast and secure. Oh, hope can be the anchor for your soul. If you have grown weary, hope will give you the ability to endure. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. And if you have lost your get up and go, hope will restore your giddy up. Psalm 43 and verse 5. Hope. There's no reason for Christians to throw their hands in the air and give up. Hope is what we're all about. Hope is what the Christian life is all about. Now, somebody may ask the question, what is the difference between faith and hope? What is the difference between faith and hope? Because that's a good question. They seem to be so closely connected. And even in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about faith, hope, and love. All right? So what is the difference between faith and hope? This will help you. All right? Hope is a desire for a good outcome. And faith is the belief that there will be a good outcome. See, and with hope, as Jesse Jackson said, keep hope alive. As hope, I desire a good outcome. It is my desire, it is my wish for the circumstance to come out to be the best. But faith, and we can teach a whole nother lesson on faith, but faith is the belief that the outcome will be good. So that's the difference between faith and hope. Now let me get into the lesson this morning. That was my introduction. Let me get into the lesson. What lessons can we learn from the tree? What lessons can we learn from the tree? Powerful example. Powerful example. Job said, there is hope for a tree. Put that tree back up there, AJ, if you could. There is hope for a tree if it be cut down. If a tree is cut down, there is hope. Now, let me ask a question. If the Bible says, if Job is speaking to his situation, he says that no matter what you're going through, that look at the tree. There is hope for a tree if it be cut down. If you cut that tree down, there is hope that it can live again. Now, if an inanimate tree that has no soul, has no feelings, has no emotion, if a tree, if there's hope for a tree, surely God has given hope to his people when we are in desperate situations. So what's the first thing that we want to see? Is that we want to see that a tree can die. A tree can die. Notice what he says here again. For there is hope for a tree if it is cut down. Then he goes down in verse 8, though its roots grow old in the earth, and look at this, and its stock die in the ground. A tree can die. But let me tell you two things about a tree that we need to realize, is that a tree dies for a reason, and a tree dies for a season. That's good preaching, Bill. Thank you, Brother Glaze. A tree dies for a reason. I went online and I was doing some research, and they said that there are 10 reasons why a tree can die. 10 reasons why a tree can die. All right? If you want to know what they are, go online and type in 10 reasons why a tree can die. You'll find out. But it dies for a reason. Our hope can be crushed to death by someone or something else. That your hope can be crushed by another person or a circumstance in life. It can take your hope away. Just like the tree. Just like the tree dies. There was a song that years ago I used to love to hear. I think the Imperials sang this song. And it said this. It says, when you're up against the struggle that shattered all your dreams. Listen to this. And your hopes been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes. And you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. And the chains that seek to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. When you praise him. Maybe your dreams have been crushed, as the song says, by Satan's manifested schemes. Satan has crushed your dreams. Just like the tree, you have a reason to die. But notice the second thing. A tree can only die for a season because it comes back again. So if we find ourselves in a position where we have lost hope, we should remember that it's only for a season. And the situation is the length of time that we are hopeless depends on us. It depends on you. You got the power in your hand to stay in a hopeless situation, or you can begin to address your situation. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in a hopeless situation. You know, I don't want to be in a hopeless situation where I'm looking at a dead end, where I'm looking at throwing my hands up in the air and farting hardy like I just don't care. I don't want to be in there. All right? So you got a purpose in your life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Hope, Lessons from the Tree. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Hope, Lessons from the Tree, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Hope, Lessons from the Tree. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Hope, Lessons from the Tree. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchor to Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.